And now, more tips with your host, Rebecca, on lifestyle improvement.
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and is not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement for part two of our interview with Judy Burwell. Judy works for H&R in the state of Washington as a certified tax professional registered with the IRS and is a tax consultant serving over 500 clients each year. She is a facilitator and a trainer of over 180 tax professionals who prepare on a yearly basis to meet the needs of their clients during the tax season.
A lot of companies will offer a 401k, and minimally, most of them will contribute 3 or 4%. And I tell everybody, at least contribute that minimal amount while you're working. The difference between a Roth and a traditional IRA, which an IRA means an independent retirement account, which you invest yourself, which simply can be at the bank or with a financial institution if you have a broker involved and he manages your account. Now, if you're under 50, you can contribute up to $5,500 to either. The difference is a traditional is tax deferred, so you could contribute up to $5,500 to it. Now, it doesn't mean you have to. You could contribute $1,000, $2,000, whatever you can afford. The traditional is tax deferred, and it comes off the top of your income. So again, for example, if you made $30,000, your taxable income would be $25,000. So it's, again, it's an immediate tax savings. A Roth, on the other side, is not tax deferred. You're going to pay the tax on it now, and those dollars plus those earnings, if you wait until you're 59 and a half, are all tax free. So there's some specific strategies to think about. And again, I want everybody to understand, these are my opinion. I mean, the rules are as such, but my opinion. Roths were designed to contribute when your income was at a lower tax level because, you know, you really don't want to pay 25% on dollars and then take them out, you know, when you're at a much lower tax bracket. You can contribute to both or switch back and forth depending on your circumstances year to year. But I want to give you the most important part, and that is a savers credit that a lot of people aren't aware that exists. And this is perfect for people that are at a lower income. So again, I want to give you the perfect example. And this would be a single person. Maybe they just gotten out of college and it's their first job. And you know, they're not making a lot. They got to pay their dues. So they make about $20,000 their first year. If they were to contribute $2,000 to a traditional IRA, they would have a tax savings of about $200. But because their income is low, the government's going to match it close to 50% or whatever your final tax liability. So what that means in this scenario, you're going to save about $1,000. The government is rewarding you for saving. Now, if you made a little more money, there's three areas. There's a 50%, which is the greatest savings, a 20%, and a 10%. But if you fall into these categories, which they don't even phase out until you're at $60,000 when you're married, it's a wonderful opportunity to not only save money on tax deferred dollars, but to benefit from the savers credit. I tell all young people, especially if they're still kind of living at home, they don't have those costs, you need to do this. The best part is you could file in, let's say, February. The IRS allows us to contribute until April 15th for this year, 2016 or 2015. So that means you could get that savers credit in advance and use those dollars to actually open that IRA up. And that's, to me, one of the greatest benefits that young people or lower income people could take advantage.
How would you define, in a really easy way, savers credit?
Well, it's just the government is actually rewarding people to contribute to their retirement, because you have to start doing it, and you really need to start doing it when you're young, because, you know, unless you want to work until you're 80, you've got to build that up. And, you know, each generation pays the prior Social Security, and we really never know what's ever going to happen to that, because we know the government changes the rules a lot. But more importantly, it's never going to keep up with inflation.
How about a person that starts late in age, like in their mid-50s?
You know what? It's never too late. The beauty about the mid-50s is they have called catch-up years. So you could contribute up to $6,500. Even if you were going to work 10 more years and you contributed $6,500 a year, that's $65,000 along with compounded interest. And then on top of it, if you're in the 25% tax bracket, I got to do my math real quick, but it's like $1,500, $1,600 you're saving in tax dollars if you're in the 25% tax bracket. And I wanted to talk about that. And you may or may not qualify for the Savers Credit, but, you know, unfortunately, the people I run into the most are divorced women that perhaps stepped out of the workforce for 15 years raising their family, and then they get divorced and they don't have an earning power. They're kind of starting over a little bit. They have to reinvent themselves, and they're faced with, not only don't I have a retirement, I haven't been contributing to Social Security because I haven't been working for the last 15 years. That's a very terrifying thing, but together I can help them create a plan.
Perfect. That was a good explanation of how potentially an IRA could be something to consider if you're a caregiver that maybe hasn't had an opportunity to invest into a traditional work-related retirement program, and that there are options out there.
Now, the rules of an IRA is you're not to touch them till you're 59 and a half. They're designed not to be touched, and you can have a steep penalty. Same thing with the HSA. You don't pull it out for other things unless it's absolutely necessary. But the beauty of this is usually like a 64-year-old person. And again, if they're in that higher tax bracket, just shifting money from maybe a savings account into an IRA at the higher tax brackets can save them this money. And the beauty is they can turn around the next year and take it out if they want. And the best part about an IRA is they can take out any amount. They don't have to take the whole amount out. Like a 401k, it's usually an all or nothing. An IRA, if you want to do a trip to Hawaii, you could just take out $2,000. You don't have to take out the whole thing. And so it's a win-win situation. They can keep building that IRA up, and you don't have to touch these IRAs until you're 70 and a half. And then there's a minimal distribution you're required to take.
Thank you. I'm sure there's that caregiver out there saying, well, yes, it would be nice to have $6,500 a year to contribute to anything, but I'm not working because I'm taking care of my loved one. And so what are my options?
Well, unfortunately, if there's absolutely no earned income, as far as retirement goes, there are no options. It's just like a lot of credits we get for our children. I encourage people, try to work the minimally, because what they'll have is they'll have a spouse on Social Security. And you want to encourage them to try to make $10,000 or $12,000, especially if they have children, because then that's a whole new gamut of credits and stuff. Hopefully, if they're in that situation, I mean, unfortunately, it's probably not long term. That is probably the biggest negative by making it tax-free through the state for caregivers, because when it was taxable, then they could be contributed to retirement. So it's a double-edged sword always with taxes. What helps a lot of people can hurt a lot of people.
And that's a really good explanation and a really good clarification, because there are those two ends, this group that is dealing with one situation versus the other. So thank you for touching on that. You have explained to us a lot of the adjustments and the deductions and the benefits. Now, one area that I know you wanted to talk about was education. Talk to me about the American Opportunity Education Credit.
You know, I am the biggest advocate to everybody. And I can't tell you how many people again, I'll give you scenarios that come to my desk and they've got a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old. And I'm like, well, what's the child's plans? Because the IRS refers to a child as the unified definition of a child. And it's nothing what we think of. If you have a 19-year-old person, young person in your life, which we usually consider a child, if they're not in school, in any kind of higher education, and they make over $4,000, we cannot claim that child anymore. Even if we're supporting them, paying their bills, or eating our food, they're living under our roof, it's the rules. But if that same child goes on to school, whether they're at a university, online, a community college, a technical school, they are still considered your child. They don't even have to live with you because a lot of times they have to live on the university. And then those at the lower income still get to qualify for head of household if they're not married, still get all the credits for EIC on a child. But most importantly, the American Opportunity Credit is up to $2,500. And that's not limited to just children. It's limited, or it's for everybody. And I'll have to explain a little bit of that. Most people will come to me and say, well, I simply can't afford to send my kids to college. Of course you can. They might have to start at a community college. So if you had parents that decided to go back to school, they only have to be part-time, which is two classes for a couple semesters. Now, this credit not only covers tuition, it covers fees, books, and any necessary supplies. Like, for example, if you're in the medical field and you needed to buy scrubs or anything like that, if you're a nursing or a doctor or anything like that. And then if your son or daughter, let's say, was going to a local community college, these expenses generally aren't quite as high. So if all three qualified, you could get up to $7,500. That's huge. And this has been going on, I think, since 2008. It's not due to expire until 2017. And a lot of times the government will keep pushing it forward. Now, again, it has lots of rules, but this credit doesn't phase out until your threshold of income exceeds $160,000.
That's huge. And, you know, when you think about a couple in which maybe one of them is working, the other one is a full-time caregiver caring for a parent, but they have kids and they want them to go to college, that definitely would be a help, correct?
Absolutely.
This is your host, Rebecca, and now we will take a short break and we will be right back with more ideas on lifestyle improvement.
Specialized approach to spinal care is what you will find in the Advanced Spinal Care Clinic in Graham, Washington. Here's Dr. Craig Lipinski explaining why Nuka Care is unlike any other treatment.
Our goal is that we're making a specialized correction to the skull, the atlas, and the neck of each individual that is custom made or custom and specific created to get them healthy and then have them stay that way.
One of only 23 board certified Nuka practitioners in the world, Dr. Craig Lipinski offers you care that can significantly impact your health in positive ways.
This week we've seen somebody in here who's had a 50-point drop in blood pressure by having the skull, atlas, and neck corrected to a proper position.
To find out more about how Nuka Care can change your life, visit www.nuccawashington.com or call 253-445-8181.
I can't tell you how many people come work for us that the only reason why they want to work, they're retired, is they want to make $6,500 so that they can continue to contribute to a Roth or a traditional IRA. That's the only reason why they're working. And again, $6,500 is the maximum amount, so they just want to earn $6,500.
That's really powerful information, like you said, and definitely very helpful when the finances are tight and you wish to send your child to college as a caregiver. We talked about retirement. Another area that I think caregivers have to deal with constantly is, of course, we did talk about the medical. But tell me, what should caregivers be aware of when it comes to healthcare options. As you know, since many of them are not working, they have neither the option to get it through their work or they don't have the extra money to pay for it. So what are the options out there?
Chances are you're going to qualify for the state health care. And don't be afraid to be a little aggressive. Our company does offer that free of charge to assist people. And I think the most overwhelming part when this just went through was people just didn't understand what to do. It was just way too much information. And they felt embarrassed because they didn't even know. So it's kind of like they just laid down and said, okay, give me a penalty. And let me give you a few examples. I had women coming to my desk that made around $20,000, never have had health care in their life. The government's offering a credit. So I had her talk to one of my associates who happens to be certified in the health care department. Now, her payment would be about $450 a month, but she qualified for the health care premium credit, which was about $400 a month. Now, her option was she could get it in advance and then she'd have the money to pay for it. Or at the end of the year, if she paid for it, she'd get it refunded in her taxes. I had people crying. They never had health care. They made a little too much to get it free through the state. But when you make $20,000, you can't afford to pay $5,000. And it's really to try to help unclog the systems. And there's so much out there. But again, if you're absolutely not working as a health care giver, they would probably get it through the state. And their children can get CHIP or Apple and all that. And you want them to have it. But like I said, it's the hardest part is figuring out what to do. And the saddest part is if they do nothing, they're getting penalized and they're getting steeper and steeper on their taxes. And I don't know if we're going to get to this question, but everybody says, why did this get linked to taxes? And that's because most people have to file tax returns. And it's the way the IRS can track it, whether it's on your W-2 to show you get it through your work, whether you're a senior and you have Social Security and get it through Medicare, or if you get it through the state. But finally, if you're purchasing it, and what we have to do is we have to reconcile, because whoever claims the people on their taxes are responsible for their health care. That doesn't necessarily mean they have to purchase it. It's just whoever you have on your taxes. So let's say two of your children have it through the state. Maybe you're divorced and your husband covers the other two on his work. But everybody's going to get documents, and the person claiming those children is responsible to prove they have health care.
And equally, if you have a parent that is a dependent, because you're caregiving for them, that would, I imagine, is the same scenario.
Right. If they're a senior and they're getting Social Security, of course, they're getting Medicare or maybe Medicaid. But again, yes, you would be responsible. So if your parent, for some reason, did not have any kind of health care and you couldn't afford to purchase it for them, if you're going to claim them, you're going to get the penalty. And right now it's 4% of your taxable or your income, or $325 per adult you claim. And I mean, that's pretty steep. I mean, it can get very, very high. So again, these are just things that any tax preparer should be able to give you some general information, because we are required by law to know the law, the tax law. And it's been very daunting on us because it's hard enough to keep all the IRS stuff straight. Now we have to keep all the health care straight. But it does make us a better and better resource for people.
As we're closing here, coming to an end, I really would like you, Judy, to just dig in there into your expertise, your many years of experience in this field, and give us just any piece of information that maybe still you think that should be out there that could be helpful. And ultimately, What is that one piece or that one gem? I always ask my guests, tell me that one gem that you would like people to stay with, that the listeners will remember this and act upon this. What would that be that you would like to make sure that people remember?
At least personally, when I do your taxes, it's about you. I need to know your story, what you're about, where you want to go. And I'm kind of your partner. You know, my goal is to kind of sift through everything, find out everything you're qualified for, and really, bottom line, get you the greatest refund I can. But more importantly, I always give my clients as much information projecting ahead, whether it's your child is now flying the coop and you're no longer going to be claiming them. You have to be prepared for that because there's so many credits we get for children. Unfortunately, I have many of my clients that lose a spouse and they need to know the ramifications of that. I have tons of people who seek out advice because they've inherited things and they almost don't want to tell you, but 90% of all the income inheritance is not taxable. But the home or the assets, things like that are. But we get to step it up in today's prices. I'm just there for my clients and all their life experiences. And sometimes they're year after year, it's not a big deal. And then other years, they just get slammed with these unexpected whammies. And they need to kind of bounce it off of us so that they're informed and they know what to do. Because we can save them a lot of money. People do things very innocently. And then it's not till tax time that they've realized what a great mistake they did. I can at least explain what's going to happen. Kind of like you're going to go into surgery and I'm going to explain what's going to happen. But unlike surgery, you can choose not to do it. And maybe there's a better plan. And, you know, so to me, it's really giving them as much education that I get and transferring it to them.
So the gem would be that they're not by themselves in this pool of information, that there are people like you that are trained as tax professionals out there that are legitimately hoping to be able to help them figure this out and help them find a way to get the best plan for them and the most deductions that are fairly coming their direction.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the government, they have all these things for you to take advantage of them, not to use them. And the biggest thing is for a lot of people, it's just understanding that advantage that you should, you know, capitalize on. And so one thing we do offer are free second looks. So like you could come in either this year when you do your own taxes or a prior year and say, hey, look at my taxes and I can go through it with you. And you know what? It's wonderful if you did it right. I might try to recruit you to work for us. But if you didn't do it right, I have an opportunity to say, hey, you missed these credits. You missed these deductions. There are so many things. It doesn't mean you're ignorant. It just means let's get that money for you, right?
Absolutely. So, Judy, you've shared a lot of your expertise. If people have more questions for you, how can they get a hold of you?
You know, I would love anybody. I invite everybody to call me. You know, if you're not in Washington or if you're in Washington, our number at my office is 253-537-2880. And 253-537-2880. And of course, you can just ask for me, Judy. I'm the only one there named Judy. But more importantly, I have clients in Germany, China. I can't tell you how many I did in Afghanistan. We have approved online. There are so many options out there that you can be at my desk without physically being at my desk. So I invite you to come see me. I work for HR Block and we're at 15633 Pacific Avenue South. And I do work year round because I deal with audits and you know, I do instructing and all kinds of other things. But the beauty of our company is that's all we do. We only do taxes. We do nothing else. So we are probably, we are the leader in the industry in the tax world.
But if they want to get a hold of Judy Burwell, which has spent time talking to us today, the phone number again is 253-537-2880.
2880.
And she will be able to answer any of your questions, and she will be very willing to give you a little bit more of her expertise as far as any questions that you may have concerning taxes. And she is indeed a tax expert, as far as my opinion is. Really, this subject is complicated, and when it can be explained as nicely and as smoothly as you just have explained it to us, Judy. So thank you again so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. And, you know, part of a lot of these credits were to stimulate the economy. And a lot of people took advantage of them because there were things they were going to need to do anyways. Now, they always expire. For example, you know, they've done the electric car credits. They've done, energy credits for appliances, things like, or not appliances, but like, like a heat pump. So they're always coming up with new things that taxpayers can take advantage of. And that's a year you just might decide that's a good year to take advantage of it, right?
Well, thank you so much, Judy. And come back to talk to us again, okay?
And remember that in our program, we present our opinion and the opinion of our guest, and it's not to be interpreted as medical advice.
Thank you for joining us today here on Lifestyle Improvement. For part two of our interview with Judy Burwell. Judy works for H&R in the state of Washington as a certified tax professional registered with the IRS and is a tax consultant serving over 500 clients each year. She is a facilitator and a trainer of over 180 tax professionals who prepare on a yearly basis to meet the needs of their clients during the tax season. Don't forget to join us again next Sunday morning from 7:30 to 8 for more great tips on lifestyle improvement.